This is right here, right now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them they have always wanted to write. And I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as a part of their work. My co-host and producer for Right Here, Right Now is Andy Lowe. Andy has his own show, Renegade Radio, on Business Radio X. Good morning, Andy.
Dr. Tim, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Man, it's a great day here in Atlanta.
We were talking earlier. How ready are you for your triathlon?
Past ready, man. I'm just in a holding pattern right now. I mean, if this thing happened today, I'm ready. So
yeah, I guess so.
I just got to keep it up for a few more weeks.
Yeah, October 20th.
October 20th.
Wow. And then when you come back in to do the show on the 23rd, what should I expect?
Nothing out of the normal, man. This is just a walk in the park.
Good. We like that. We like that. Great. Well, let's get underway here. In recent Right Here, Right Now broadcasts, we've discussed with our guests various topics on the tough stuff of business. And we're going to continue that discussion with today's guest. You know, change happens or not, and how a company and its management choose to deal with change impacts the company's overall strength and profitability. Deborah Tyler and Peggy Sue Marquez-Kelly from CEDA, C-E-D-A, have joined me in the studio for a conversation on change management. And I forgot to check with you ladies, but am I allowed to say CEDA? Is that all right? Or do you call it CEDA, or do you spell it out?
It's CEDA, Inc.
Okay, so we like that. That's easy. CEDA, Inc. provides seasoned experts to consult with businesses and enterprises that face or are undergoing change. And those experts effectively manage complex technical processes while at the same time motivating people to perform at maximum potential. Deborah is the president. Peggy Sue is the managing partner. We go at all lengths to get people in here. We've got Peggy Sue in from Minnesota. We're so glad you did that just for us, right?
Absolutely, Tim. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to engage in an open forum rather than the usual individual interviews and then general conversation. So welcome, Deborah and Peggy Sue.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. We're real excited to be here. It's a privilege.
Great. All right. Your first question, the toss-up question. You all probably aren't old enough to remember those shows like with Alan Ludden and College Bowl, but I am.
We'll just go with that.
Can businesses anticipate change?
I think lots of times you can see the change coming. Although we do find ourselves sometimes in change, resisting change, so we can be in that denial place with change. The most important thing is how we handle change when it comes our way. Mm-hmm. It's that old adage, it's not what happens to you, but how you handle what happens to you. And in a business, it's important that as you find yourself in that change, that you make those moves to do the right things up front.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is kind of tagging on to what Deborah just said. I think it's, can they anticipate change? Absolutely. I think where a lot of organizations sort of, perhaps some do this very well and some do not, is anticipating the magnitude of the change and the impact it's going to have on its organization.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking, listeners probably get tired of my saying it, but I spent 25 years in ministry. Mm-hmm. That is not an industry that is conducive to change.
Right.
And I was a change agent all those years there.
Yes.
And it was telling. My wife sent me a one of those standard, how many does it take to change a light bulb? And you can put in Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever. And the answer is change. My grandfather put that light bulb in there. Change?
And the important thing is change is going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Professionally and personally. And the big thing about that is embrace change. Because there's great things that come out of change. Mm-hmm. Even though change can be painful, changing that light bulb you may grieve because your grandfather changed the light bulb. However, what do you have to look forward to in changing that light bulb? There are new things to look forward to in change and really celebrating change, even in the difficult times, because you come out better on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, even in that symbolic gesture of you can see a whole lot better when you have a new light bulb in. You can see things differently. Well, are there telltale signs for change?
Well, you know, normally when we go into an organization, Tim, what we find is that when we partner with senior leadership teams, they know that change is coming. They know, but they think about the change in strictly business terms. It's a merger and acquisition. It's a large technology implementation. We're doing a new product launch, right? Whether it's nationally or internationally. Or perhaps we are focused on a new product, or perhaps we're focused on our financial stability for the organization. And so when business people think about that, they think of it in terms of money and those types of transitions, not necessarily in terms of the people side of the change. And one of the things that is really critical and important to change management is, and that's such an obtuse word, right? It can mean just about anything.
Exactly.
And what CETA Inc. specializes in is partnering the change management with the project management and the communication piece into one comprehensive package, which is where a lot of companies, what they don't do, right? They silo that stuff.
Well, flesh that out for us.
Well, really what that means is, a lot of times, especially when we're struggling to get a new product launched, or we're financially in an area that we find ourselves maybe on the cusp of bankruptcy or in bankruptcy, we tend to go in as leaders and focus on the processes. How do we fix the business? And we're looking at the procedures and the processes, and how do we cut money, and how do we reduce this? And we forget about the people. And a lot of times we make lots of great changes out there in our processes and procedures, but our people are not engaged on the front end. And in those difficult times, people are struggling personally with, what's going on? Is my job safe? Is the company safe? What should I do? And Peggy Sue brought up communication too. Communication is key to helping people get through that. So when you do launch these great initiatives to better your business, the people are on board with you. And it's much more successful that way if you have the people engaged in those processes. So you look at it from both sides.
But it's a balance, Tim. And actually, you'll hear Deborah and I do this often probably during this conversation is, do I do change management? Absolutely. Am I good at it? Absolutely. The expert in change management in CETA Inc. is Deborah. And as you can hear, she's much more of what people would term as the touchy-feely side. Can Deborah do project management? Absolutely. I'm the expert when it comes to CETA, when it comes to the project management side. And when you bring the two of us together, we tend to have these types of conversations. Don't forget the people. Don't forget the touchy-feely side.
She holds the hand and you kick the butt.
Absolutely.
I got it.
And so what I always push back on Deborah, which is what makes us such a great team, as well as on the organizations we work with, is I hear you and I certainly appreciate what our employees bring to the table, but let's not forget that we have a business to run. And if I'm doing a merger and acquisition, I have 12 months to get this right. So as you're doing your touchy-feely side, which one of those people can adjust and which ones can't? And so we tend to have this dialogue coming in from two different spectrums. But what's important about what we bring to the organization is that we don't lose sight to either. And CETA Inc. really what we come to the table with is a comprehensive package, as we talked about before, between change management, project management, and communication. And for us, it's symbiotic. You can't have one without the other. So I love what Deborah says, and she definitely comes in on that side. But I have to keep reminding her, don't forget there's a business case here.
Don't you hate reality?
Well, and what I continue to tell Peggy Sue is without the people, your great processes don't work.
Right.
That's so it's
absolutely
your people that deliver the results.
Absolutely. You guys are great symbiosis there. Andy, you look poised.
Well, I want to get in the middle of that discussion here in a minute. But before I do, just for our listeners, I want to back up a step and frame this and see if you guys can help everybody understand this idea. Tell us about the change management industry and how it's emerged. I mean, we've had businesses around forever, right? But change management is a relatively recent innovation where it's really become popularized and companies are starting to look into it and research it and want that help. Why? What's going on in the dynamics of business that is making change management a necessary part of the process these days?
Well, I think as you look at the statistics, whether you look them up on the internet, whether you're reading a type of book, you will find that of most major initiatives, right, over 60% of them,
that's exactly
Deborah,
right,
fail. And then when you look at large-scale technology implementations, that rate is even higher. And they range, right? Anywhere from a 69 to probably an 89%. You'll find different studies, different industries, et cetera. But when you look at that type of failure rate, and you look at the economy of our country, and you look at where we are from a workforce perspective and the number of people out of work and things of that nature, when you take all of that into consideration, companies no longer have the luxury of not taking change management. And completely to Deborah's point, we're kind of switching places just a little bit here, which is a good thing. You cannot forget the value of the people. So when you look from a business perspective and what that does to your bottom line from a financial perspective, it hits you in your wallet. So now businesses today, completely to your point, they have to take change management into consideration. But going back to what Deborah said earlier, it's about the how, not the what. And where companies are still stuck today is we're doing change management. Define change management. And is it the same definition for your company as your next door neighbor's company? And how you approach it makes all the difference in the world. So just saying you're doing change management is pretty much irrelevant.
It encompasses a lot of things change management does. It's not just what it's going to look like in result, but what are we going to do on the front end? What does it look like during implementation? And what are we going to do to continue to drive the results we intended with the change that we're moving forward? What I find is a lot of times what we lack in change management and where we say we're doing change management, but it's not really happening, is the follow through. What are we going to do afterwards? I know you guys have been to great events before. We have companies launching events and they bring in great speakers and they have great breakout sessions and everybody's really jazzed after they leave this session and they're really pumped and, oh yeah, we're really behind this and it's going to be great. They get back out there,
nothing,
and do their job,
no,
and
follow-up.
Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders still sound the same. The processes really haven't changed that much. And there's that lack of enthusiasm that you experience during that session. And so you begin to ask yourself, okay, well, a couple of weeks ago, this is what we were going to do. When's it going to happen? I'm just waiting. When are they going to drop the ball? You know, like, you know, New Year's Eve, when are we going to get started with this?
I like that.
And it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so people begin to think, wow, was that just the flavor of the week? Were they really behind this change? And so where I think we all need to do a better job at change management is our follow through and what we're going to do to continue to develop our people and get our people ready and positioned to follow through with these initiatives. Mm-hmm. And that ties back to the failure rate in initiatives being 60%. A lot of it is we do great on the front end of planning. We put an implementation plan together. We're out there, but it loses. It just fizzles. I'm sure you guys have seen that before where it just fizzles and then we're on to the next thing.
Well, how do you find your clients? Because it's got to be, you can't go out and knock on a door and say, you want to change, don't you? And here we are to help you.
Yes, as effective as that is. So
I wish it was that easy.
Really? No, over 90% of our business is word of mouth referral, uh-huh, which is how we prefer it, quite frankly, because they're people that have worked with us before. And one of the things that's important to note is Deborah and I have both been, in our experience, on both sides of this change. We've been frontline employees, we've been middle-level managers, and we've been senior executives in organizations going through this type of large-scale change.
Does that mean you've been there in the crowd at that rah-rah event and a
Absolutely.
Week later say, was that the flavor of
Absolutely.
The week?
Absolutely.
And we've also planned those events, too.
Yes.
Oh,
been
my.
On all different aspects of it.
And that brings a unique perspective.
Yes, it does.
And so, you know, when you understand where we come from and the value that we bring to this process, people that we've worked with before, right, whether it's been previous executives we've worked with, previous fellow employees that we've worked with that are now in senior executive type of positions will mm-hmm. call us and say, I remember when I worked with you at, and we need that attitude here. In fact, we've had a couple people call us and say, you know, I need some Peggy Sue up in here. I need some Deborah in here. You know, because we've always sort of had this and understood, again, that symbiotic relationship and not one-offing it.
Uh-huh.
So what we have found is that when people work with us and they get to learn the level of integrity that we work with, when they learn that how we do business and the openness and the honesty about it, that's what they need in their organization. organizations that call on us, and before people say, hey, can you come into our organization and work with us, we ask them a couple of key questions. And one of those key questions is, where are you now at this pivotal point, and how open are you to feedback? Because what's very different about CETA Inc.'s business model is that when we come in as experts, what we don't do is look for additional opportunities to extend our time with this company. Our goal is not to come in and be here for 2 or 3 years. We're here to help you through this pivotal point of change. Apply our expertise and mentor the people that are there, or help you bring in new people to carry it on. You don't need our level of expertise all the time in an organization. It's too intense and it's too expensive, right? You can't hire that off the street all the time. You don't need that level all the time. And so when we come in and they're going through this stage and this transition in their organization, we come in with very open, honest feedback. We don't want to tell people what they want to hear because we're afraid that we're going to lose the contract. Mm-hmm. If you're not ready to hear that in a nice way, in a constructive way, of course, we're not the right people for you yet. Mm. Either the pain level is not great enough for you yet, where you realize that you need it, or perhaps, quite frankly, you don't need it. And we have. We've gone into clients and they said, look, I really think we need this and here's what's going on. And we get in there and we're like, you know what, would love it, but I think you maybe need a couple of weeks of helping you set up, mentor some of your employees. It's really not as big as you think, because here's some core issues and you're going to be okay. And some we go in and we say, you're so far off the mark. You need a whole lot more.
Well, isn't that the challenge, though, that you face in the organization? Because the leadership is having the same problem, because they've got to tell people down the chain from them things that they may not necessarily want to hear.
Absolutely.
But they need to hear.
Well, that's where the communication comes in. That's where the writing comes in for us. That's where, how do we deliver that message? Because it's the why behind it. What is the overall picture that we're trying to give you? How you explain that is just as critical as what you're explaining. Wouldn't you agree, Deborah?
I do. And answering you more succinctly around the difficulty of it is, it's true. It's very difficult to help others. They know there's a problem. They're concerned. But a lot of times, it's hard when you're right in the middle to see the root causes. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that the organization and the leaders are at a place where they're willing to receive some honest, brutal feedback about where some of the root causes are, where they are with their situation. And then also that they're ready to deliver that message to their leaders and down, down to the frontline employees, to be honest and open where we are as a company, what we're up against, and what we're going to do to resolve these issues or to get through to the other side.
Do you work primarily then with C-level, or do you start off and then move down to middle management, or what's your process?
Primarily we work with C-level, but in this process of change management, we work all the way down to the frontline employee. Because Peggy Sue's going to get me on this, but it is about the people, and we have to make sure that we're in touch with the people. Let's be honest. The further you move away from frontline, a lot of times you don't have a true pulse check on what's going on throughout your organization. Well, and we do a great job of helping them identify that, where there could be issues that they're not even aware of that could be creating some of the things that they've seen at a higher level but don't understand exactly what has started or how it's snowballed into where it is today.
That relationship building is critical. And as we work with organizations and start out at the senior executive level, really that's the piece that we push the hardest, is if you don't have a relationship with your people, then your people aren't going to move for you. And so really what Deborah is fantastic at doing as she works with these organizations from a change management perspective is really about, how do we get you there? How do we help you to build that relationship? Because I can say that till I'm blue in the face. I want to know how you operationalize that. Okay, I know I need a relationship, but and you want me to do what? Pass out candy? I mean, what, really, how do I do that? And that's where...
Do you ever have the urge just to kind of slap her a little bit?
Maybe.
I don't think I like them.
Well, you're playing both sides here, though, right? I mean, but let's talk about that that line and kind of help some of our business leaders. Yeah, let's help our business leaders understand that line, right? Because we've seen both sides of this. We've seen people that are too operational.
Yes.
And they've got people that they could motivate and they could drive and they could create something awesome out of, but they just cut and go.
Yes.
And never make any progress. And then we got the other side of business leaders that they have that relationship. In fact, I've consulted with many business owners who they have somebody in their organization not bringing value, really a bad apple, undermining the performance
yes.
of the company. But they're friends,
yes.
and they can't let go of that. Or they have savior complex.
Yes.
I can help them. Yes. Help us. What do you do when you're facing that line?
I think what's so great about Peggy Sue and I is just what you said. We bring in the yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
We already have those conversations going on and are from a level of able to partner with leaders. I'm going to partner with you and share with you some of the things. And our goal is for those people that are not bringing value to be able to be honest and say, okay, so you're in a business here. I know your friends, but are you doing this person any favors, keeping them in this positioning and allowing them not to perform? Because actually, let's just say this company went away or this opportunity went away. Where would they be when they're out there in the marketplace again? So you're really not doing them any favors by continuing to let them ride on the relationship. The thing is that we've found in businesses, we're really great at putting processes together and coming up with new initiatives and how we're going to put it out there. A lot of times when we get ready to deliver those to our people, relationships are on shaky ground. There's been trust eroded and respect eroded over time. And so when you're working on those processes and procedures, you need to also be working on the relationships with your people, building that trust and that respect, so that employees want to deliver. And when you have a situation going on like you just shared with us where you do have low performers that are getting hall passes out there, let's be honest,
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
erodes trust and respect with your leaders. So in all of that, we identify, and we may come in from a project management level and start from there. We may come in from a smaller scale and do executive coaching, one-on-one, six-month engagements to either bring someone up that is bringing value to the organization that you've invested a lot in this person, but you know there's just some things they need to tweak to be better. Or we may be coming in to say, there's better matches. These people are in the wrong places. I'm sure you've seen that before in organizations too. They're great employees, but they've been promoted into the wrong areas. Or you may have seen someone that's great on the operational side. They are great in an operation. But as they move up the ladder, they don't have those people skills.
Mm-hmm.
And we just assume because you're great at the operation, you're going to be a great people leader.
Oh, yeah.
And we fail them. We don't develop them. So it may be that we come in and begin to help them develop some people that were promoted without development so they can grow their people skills. So, again, you start seeing
them they work well.
Doing great in the operation because the further you move up, the more you depend on others to run the operation.
Mm-hmm.
And you lead the people. I always, I was in one organization, and they're very operational focused, transportation company, very operationally focused. And the question to them was, are you a leader that's managing an operation with people in it? Or are you a leader that are leading people in an operation? Because when you move up, you're not in the weeds anymore running the operation. That's what you've got your great people for. You should be leading the people. And so it's that mindset and helping people shift.
And that's a critical piece.
So, and that's a big part of change.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times change has to start first with me. One of my favorite quotes, Gandhi, is be the change you want to see, right? Be the change. So
the two of you started this company, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How did that come about? That obviously required change in your lives.
We actually, we had worked together previously, and we were both very much at odds with some of our senior leadership at the time, saying, okay, we've got to have these together, right? I'm running a large-scale complex project, working with Deborah on the change management side, and the thought process was, don't bring Deborah in yet. It's too early for training. It's too early for change management. It's too early for communication. And my whole thing is it's symbiotic. it has to be woven. Change management is not an event. It's got to be woven through everything we do, from how we conduct this project team to who is on this project team to the types of reports that we report out to our senior executives. All that is change management. You can't separate the two like that. And so we, quite frankly, got in a little bit of trouble every once in a while. Because
oh, no, no.
Because we were like, it doesn't work otherwise. And so as we continued to grow as individuals and we kind of went our separate ways, and then as we came back together, we said, you know what? We have something here. This is important. Mm. And not only does it take in all of the different perspectives into play and help us to keep our eyes on all of those different things, but we're helping companies save money. We're helping them to realize the benefits on the other side of this transition faster and more effectively. That's something worth looking at. And we work very well together. I mean, we have fun. We do. And that's key. We have fun and we work with people that we trust. We work with people that we have integrity. You know, it's very important to me that if I'm going to go into a large organization or a medium or even small organization with Deborah, that I know that I can trust her when she's off doing something completely different than what I'm doing, knowing that we're going to always come together and synergize what we're doing. And you don't always have that kind of business relationship. So for us, that's huge.
But that also helps your clients to see that this does work.
Absolutely does.
And I think what's key when you are beginning your business is that you're honest about the strengths that you bring to the table,
mm-hmm.
and that you seek someone that has different strengths.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as we began to talk about what our hopes and dreams were to do with a business, if we were separate, when we began to talk about what we could bring, a lot of our passions are the same and what we want to do in companies and helping people. Whether it's the corporation realizing to be the best that it can be, or the individuals in the organization to be the best that they can be. We bring something different, and we challenge each other, which in turn brings that same challenge as we partner with companies to help them through change. We do the same thing with each other.
And we found that this model works in a number of different industries. So we've worked in airline, transportation, cruise, entertainment industry, construction. So we find that how we approach things, how we build relationships with the senior executives, it transcends industries, right? There's some expertise that's needed in each one of those to some level, but it isn't a one-size-fits-all. We grew up as corporate babies, but we've also worked in, you know, the manufacturing field. We've also worked in the smaller startup businesses as well. So that breadth of experience that we bring, mm-hmm. in addition to being on both sides, right, from an employee frontline perspective as well as from a senior leadership perspective, that's valuable experience. And we love what we do. That's the scary part.
Do you guys find the small and medium-sized marketplace is a little tougher to penetrate than the large organizations because of ego? I mean, I'm listening to what you're saying about strengths that you bring to the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reality is that most of the time, consultants and coaches aren't bringing something to the organization that they don't have. They're literally bringing a third-party perspective in because you just can't do it for yourself. I mean, you know, it's kind of like when you look in the mirror, you have a very different analysis of yourself than someone else who is looking at you externally. But I see that ego in the middle and small market where people seem to think, well, if I bring somebody in, it means I'm not sufficient or I'm not doing something right. Do you find that challenge in the market?
We do find it occasionally. Really, that's not where we find the challenge, which is kind of funny. Because we work primarily off of word of mouth, by the time they've called us, we're already in there. So it's not like we're soliciting to them and saying, can you use us? And they're saying, we don't really need help. By the time we get the call, they've realized that there's a need. They may not always realize the need. And as Deborah sort of talked about a little bit earlier, sometimes what they think is the problem isn't, and it's hearing what the real root cause is that we have found that's very difficult for them. And I think the other thing is, too, is that is really interesting for people is when they meet us. You know, they see our website. It's a tough website. It's a very strong website. We come in with companies that are at a pivotal point of their organization. And primarily when we come in on the C-suite, we're primarily working with men. So when you bring in two women into an organization with egos that are primarily toward our men, it brings a whole different dynamic to the table as well.
Well, we actually had that conversation, didn't we?
We did.
Because I had gone to the website and then we had talked and I was intrigued because I always look for the bios. That's my thing.
Yep.
And there were none.
Mm-mm.
And so I think it was you, Deborah, who challenged me as to why. And I said, because you're both women and you want to keep that kind of hidden. You know, surprise, surprise. And it's not so much hidden. It's the product that you sell.
And I would say not hidden, but it's not the first thing
exactly.
that we want people to think about.
Yeah.
We want them to think about what our expertise is, what we bring to the table.
And boy, you certainly do that well on that website. It says strength and determination all over the place. And I really enjoyed it. I appreciated it.
And I wanted to go back for just a minute around the difficulty in meeting egos and the resistance mm-hmm. sometimes. What is really important is, as we go into these businesses, if there are some resistance, is building a relationship with that person. And it can take some time to build a relationship. It may not be something that happens in the first meeting. But to put out there, this is what we have, this is what we offer, give you some time to think about it, and also offer help out there without always looking at the dollar figure. Okay, if I'm going to come in and talk to you for an hour, I'm going to charge you this. That's not what it's about. It's about the value that I bring, the value that Peggy Sue brings, and give us a chance. Get to know us. Do your research. Let's have some multiple conversations and just talk. I have a friend as well as someone that I've been working with, and her company's in bankruptcy right now. I don't know that we'll ever get in to work with them. She's struggling right now with that. But what I've offered to her is coaching and someone to talk to and mentor because I care. Whether we ever get in there and get the business on this one, that's not the point. It's to really be out there. And sometimes it's giving back and not worrying about, are you going to get something from it?
Mm-hmm.
So as you build those relationships out there in smaller companies and industries, you may not be in there then. But down the road, you may get that business, or they may talk to someone else and say, we weren't able to bring this person in for reasons that I don't want to discuss, but I really think that you ought to talk to this person. So resistance is good. It challenges us. It gives us opportunity to build relationships that you may see down the road grow into more.
Mm-hmm. And it brings up an interesting point about our overall business model as well. And going exactly to what Deborah was saying and tagging on to that, we sell value, not time. So what's very different about CETA Inc. as we come into organizations is we're going to give you a flat project price. So whether I work 40 hours or I work, 70 hours that week, it's the same price because we don't want to nickel and dime you to death. And especially when it comes to the smaller and mid-sized businesses, that's incredibly important to their financials. So if they do have someone like us come in, mm-hmm. then at least they know that when they get that bill, they know what that bill is right up front, not worrying that I came in for a 15-minute, meeting or an hour conference call or I was asked for this or that, and suddenly it's increased by, perhaps tens of thousands of dollars. And again, it comes back to integrity and how we do business and how we approach business. We don't want you focused on that fee. We don't want you worrying about what your next bill looks like and if it's going to break the bank for you, especially if you're a smaller and a mid-sized business. We want you focused on the value that we bring and working with us to do what's right for your organization.
I like that. I like that. So you mentioned earlier that you write reports. Write reports? Lots and lots and lots. What all? So you do your research, you come up with your findings, and then you type out and hand it off. That's a lot of writing. That's how you communicate all the stuff?
We do not everything. We a lot of conversations need to happen face to face, personalized.
Okay.
But what is appropriate, especially when you're dealing with board of directors and shareholders and things of that nature, what we have found is incredibly important in our organization and the work that we do, is not only what you write, but what you don't write is just as critical. So if you don't understand one, you don't get the other. So if we're not very good at writing and very good at phrasing our messaging, then we can't control how people read between the lines either. So a prime example is we have two companies that are merging, right? So I have two senior vice, or let's say executive vice presidents. One's with one of the companies and one's with the other. Both of them are over, let's say, the operations groups. Well, we're going to have a memo going out to both operation groups talking about upcoming changes. Does that come from one of those executive vice presidents? Does it come from both of them co-written? if I sit, just send it under one, does that mean the other person's getting fired? Because that's what I'm going to read into it as a frontline employee, right? If it comes from both of them, what does that mean? I mean, how you write these things, how you put them together, how you execute them and distribute them is just as important as what's written in that memo. And so we have to be real careful on everything that we write, because you have to understand that side of the equation.
And see, from my discipline, what we're talking about is who's your target market?
Exactly.
And are they going to understand it when they get it?
And the other thing that is really key here is your verbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you are out communicating, communication can come from so many different avenues. And if we're not all on the same page, if what we've put out there in writing, then you have someone over here putting out a message verbally that doesn't seem to line up with the written communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So looking at communication from a holistic standpoint, being very thoughtful around who you're sending your communications to, what you're saying, and are you leaving out any messages? I know you've seen this in the past where you've gotten a written communication and thought, ooh, there's more to the story. Let me try to figure this out. Let's all get around the coffee pot or the water cooler and talk about this, because they're hiding something from us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we come into these organizations as well, it's not only the writing piece, but it's also sometimes we come in and do a complete PR strategy, both internal and external. So not only are we handling the internal project communication, but also perhaps external communication for the organization as well. And Deborah, I think I cut you off, and
that's
I do apologize.
Okay. That's great. And I think I lost my train of thought, but that's okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, let me throw a communication question out here at you guys. As we're talking about this and as you're trying to communicate, you said communication is so important. And we think about the forms, and you're talking about what you say and what you don't say. But, you know, we know that statistically they say the words that you use only make up about 7% of communication. The tone, which is very difficult to put into writing, is 38%. And then you have the body language, which is 55%, which you get none of in the written. But, of course, with the verbal, we have challenges. It's kind of the old game we played in school. If I tell somebody something and they tell the next person we go around the room, it's completely changed by the end. So how do you suggest that a company manages communication flow so that they present a consistent message, that the tone's right, and the body language, which may not be face-to-face, it may be the positioning of the company, gets communicated throughout the organization?
I think alignment is the key word here. Everyone must be aligned, and it's before you communicate. Leaders have to have alignment in speaking the same thing and believe in what they're saying, because I think it's great, those statistics you just quoted around how we get our communication, and we are very good as people to be able to sift through everything that's happening and read the real message through those body languages and tone of voice. Our tone in our communication, written communication, needs to be the same as our verbal communication. And I think as we put it out there, we need to be sure that we are making a point of the tone. Is it the same? And do we believe what we're saying? A lot of times I've been in situations where things have to be communicated, but you don't have buy-in of everybody that's communicating it. And even though you've got this great memo out there and it rocks, you've got somebody over here doing a conference call, or they're doing a town hall meeting or whatever, and they're just not with you. And people can read through that right away. So getting leadership and alignment on board prior to any communication is huge.
And then I think, and once you get that in place, right, on the forefront, which is absolutely the way that we want to approach that, once you operationalize that, one of the things that we look at doing is that here's an overarching memo. From coming from perhaps the CEO or the president, whatever the case may be. And here's their overall strategy. And then as we sort of bring that down to each of the individual operational areas, and here's how that memo specifically impacts you, Deborah, in your particular role in this organization. So how do we actually take some of that messaging and operationalize it so now I can relate it to me, which goes directly to how do I build that relationship? Because I know now that the senior vice president, perhaps, who sent that memo about how it directly impacts me, understands a little bit about my role and maybe a little bit more than I thought he or she did.
Well, what that does is makes a company's mission statement real. Absolutely. What comes to my mind, because so many companies have that mission. This is what our mission is. Oh, it sounds great, but I'm just over here doing my little thing. I don't impact, but
absolutely.
They do.
You make a really good point, Tim. We need to help people understand how they fit into the mission statement or where they fit in with the change.
Mm-hmm.
And understand what they may go through to get through the change. The other part of this in communication is a lot of times as leaders, we need to spend a little bit more time understanding what the people want to know. Some of your best leaders out there, before they go on the road for any road shows or town hall meetings, they will spend time learning about who they're going into, what the culture is, what the people's concerns are. Whether we think it's frivolous or not, at our level, it is a true concern of theirs.
It's absolutely
and
critical.
And understanding where the people are coming from
mm-hmm.
also is key to that written and verbal communication
yeah.
because you've got to speak to what people want to hear. And the one thing for people to remember in leadership is people want leaders to listen more and talk less. And, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, but we tend to use our mouth a lot more than we do our ears. And really hearing what's going on with our people and having a pulse check is key to the best communication that
absolutely.
Goes out there.
And doing that balanced with understanding that we have a business to run
mm-hmm.
is critical.
Oh, it is. Well, you know, where I run into this is my company also writes resumes, and I do resume workshops at job seeker groups. And one of the things I always say to the people is you don't just put your job description down. You have to put down what were your accomplishments, what were your impact. And I really get the deer in headlight look. But I help them, I hope I help them understand that if you do what you do correctly, there is a good chance that the CFO or the equivalent will know, which also means if you don't, CFO is going to know because something's going to be askew in the balance sheet. And when I throw that out to folks, it's like light bulbs everywhere. They begin to think, we need to see that, don't we? We need to see how we are a part of the team, how we are a part of the process, and how we are a part of the mission statement, and that what we do is critical.
Exactly.
I need more of an amen than that, okay?
And amen!
No. Well, you know, Andy just turned away from his mic, and that made me look at the clock and say, whoa, the clock is on us. But how do people get in contact with you?
The best thing for them to do is go to our website, www.ceda-inc.com. Contact information is on there. We'll route directly to one of us, and we look forward to speaking with people.
So was there anything that I didn't or Andy didn't give you the chance to say that you would like to say? I've never given anybody that opportunity. I'm scared now.
Wow.
I feel special.
I think we are special. No, I think what is really important is I think that it's the balance. Again, it's the balance between doing what's right for the people, making sure that we keep in touch with our employees and with our partners in the business, but understanding and helping to drive that understanding of we have a business to run. And it's symbiotic. And I think the companies that try to divvy that up and silo it out are the ones that find themselves in that 60% failure rate, in that 80% failure rate when it comes to technology projects. If you want to do it right and you want it done well and you want to make sure that you realize those business benefits as quickly as possible, then you want CETA Inc. So mm-hmm. we really appreciate the time, Tim.
Sure, sure. What I've enjoyed is being able to watch you. Of course, the listeners can't, but you've been practicing what you preach this whole conversation, and I find that tremendously exciting. So, there's an endorsement for you. Well, we always welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just send me an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Well, thank you, Andy, for co-hosting and for throwing in some really curveballs today. I like those.
I've been working on my slider.
I noticed that. And thank you to our guests, Deborah Tyler and Peggy Sue Marquez-Kelly. Deborah, your corporate information, your turn. I know it should be the same thing, but I'm going to let you have a chance to give it one more time. How do people get in touch with you guys?
the best way to go about getting in touch with us is go to our website. All our information is there. Again, it is CEDA, C-E-D-A, dash inc.com.
Okay.
And we look forward to hearing from everyone out there.
That's great. That's great. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services and how we help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write at www.write, that's W-R-I-T-E, rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you'll join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, I encourage you to send an email to them right now and invite them to listen next week live or listen to any of our shows in the archives. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 Eastern Time at rightherewrightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later in the day. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.